Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the show where we talk about musicals and what they taught us. You know, sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's not very much at all. But we'll find out. With me being Julie Eisentrager, at the table I have...
It's me, KB.
And...
Miranda Selwood.
With the most wonderful, beautiful guest...
Oh, Liz Best, that's a nice introduction.
I mean, I could have switched it up for you.
I mean, you know what? It's more unusual that people are actually being kind in their introductions. So we'll stick with that. It makes me feel better.
That's you've been on the wrong podcast.
It's usually me frying other people, and they do it to me to pay me back. So
well, watch out.
It's fair.
It'll burn. So just careful there. Liz, this is your first time on Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
It is.
Which I find genuinely shocking.
Yeah, me too. But it's just been scheduling issues and whatnot over the years.
Three of them.
Almost all three years. Yeah.
Yes.
We were just saying it was our birthday.
Oh, happy August birthday.
August 4th is our third birthday.
That's bloody exciting.
Yay. We'll have passed by the time you hear this.
Is there going to be any cake?
I mean, I will eat cake at my house.
Right. Champagne. Oh, you got champagne.
Some champagne.
Okay,
for the
booze
seasoning.
Is better than cake. We're good.
But booze and cake.
Mm-hmm. Boozy cake.
Oh.
Yeah. She's onto it now. But because it's your first time, it does mean that we need to do the infamous getting to know you quiz.
Infamous.
I think there's an infamous question in our getting to know you quiz.
There is. Miranda?
Julie?
Would you like to do the subpar song that runs with it?
Oh my. Oh. Yes, I would. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Rude.
I think we broke producer Zane with that.
It's holding back laughter.
Okay, Liz.
I liked it, Miranda.
Which musical character would other people compare you to?
So I asked some other people,
mm-hmm,
and I got some pretty rude answers.
Oh, no!
The first one was Miss Trunchbull, and I was very fucking offended.
Isn't Miss Trunchbull a man?
Yes!
Playing a woman.
Who did you ask?
And is the character.
Oh, I'm not going to name names. I'll name names off mic. But, and then I got told Madame Thénardier. And I was like,
This actually sounded like a fun bunch. I'm just like,
did they just get putting confused? It out there?
And then someone said Janice Ian from Mean Girls, and I was kind of on board with that one.
But I feel
she's
like we're
just watered down from.
I know. Well, it's just like you go from the strongest, biggest bitch to the, you know, like minor high school bitch leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, I play bitches and broken women in most shows that I do, so it's fair.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Look, I tend to like the sassy characters, so as much as Grease is not my favourite, I'd probably say a bit of Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What is your dream role?
My dream roles are far outside my talent.
But that's okay. It's your dream role.
It's my dream role. I like any kind of like sassy modern musicals.
Mm-hmm.
So like anything in Heathers, literally any role in Heathers.
Mm, good pick.
I actually, in my wheelhouse, and I can sing it, I wouldn't mind playing Deb from Ordinary Days, which is,
Which is the musical we are talking about today. Okay then, what is your favourite Sondheim show?
Assassins.
That was quick, that was
good.
Yes,
I love it, I'm obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Bang, bang, bang.
Yes, that's why I like it. But yeah, it's a show that I did publicity on for a theatre company like when I was 19, and I'd never seen it, and it was the first Sondheim show I'd ever seen, and I just fell in love with it. I love it because it's a little bit fucked up. Yeah. Well, they're all a little bit fucked up, but you know.
I still haven't seen it, but I would like to.
It's very good.
It is
good.
On the list.
I haven't seen it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
The production that I did publicity for actually used real guns, so we had to have like weapons masters no. on the side of the stage, and I was like, I don't think you should be doing this, everybody, but the final shot, you're like, they had everyone aim out into the audience and bang above their heads. And I was
like that.
That is my like. This makes me feel unsafe.
Worst nightmare.
But even it was really effective. Guns.
Was it necessary?
Like, it was really effective.
On the scale
really
of effective to necessity.
I'm someone who's like super anxious, even if there's like a 3D printed gun on stage.
Me too. Honestly, we had a few reviewers say they felt unsafe, and a few other people were like, "That was so cool." Yeah. So.
I just like I like a little orange tip on my gun.
Yeah.
They're like,
oh, yeah.
The plastic.
Yeah, and water. Then someone or misfires a shot from the sound booth instead. Anywho, what is your go-to shower song?
Right now,
mm-hmm.
No Reason from Beetlejuice.
Oh, nice.
Mm. And I sing both parts. So I'll sing like a duet with myself.
Very nice. Yep. Beetlejuice has been a crowd favourite lately.
It has. Mm.
It's so much
Rockin'
fun.
Tunes.
Like, it's not Rockin' Tunes. It's not the... It's. I don't sit there and go, it's a work of genius, but goddamn, it's a fun show.
It
fun.
It's silly.
It's stupid,
watchable.
Fun. There's swearing in it. I'm
just
on
like
board.
The movie, though.
Yeah,
the movie's
exactly.
The same. You're not like, this art piece is...
Yeah.
Very... It's moving, you know? Like, you don't sit there and think about that for the movie, so you wouldn't expect the same of a musical either.
No.
But it is a good time. Okay, then here's the big one.
Yeah.
You have to
yep.
delete one musical from existence. Can't be Cats.
Yep.
Which one is it?
Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh.
I am
I
not
reckon we're up to nine
hate,
lives.
I'm not a... I would have said Cats, but I'm not a Lloyd Webber fan at all.
I mean, none of us... I don't
School
think any
of Rock
of us
is the first
here.
Thing I've seen that I actually enjoy
yes.
of a Webber show.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, having watched a lot of Andrew Lloyd Webber on the TikTok of recent,
oh no.
I've discovered he's a massive douchebag.
On yes. the TikTok? Massive.
Like an actual bag of douche.
Mm.
Very
sounds
proper.
Appealing.
I think that might actually be worse than calling someone a douchebag.
A bag of douche.
A bag of douche.
I think we should move on quickly.
It's far yeah. worse. Yeah. Anyway.
We're just dropping those E's.
Look, we earned it already, so we may as well just... Let it fly now. That was great. Loved getting to know you.
Cool, thanks.
Nice to meet you.
I'm not the Trunchbull.
Good to
I
know
swear
you.
To God.
Yeah. What, I mean, other people would beg to differ apparently, but
one particular person.
It's the treatment
crunchy.
Of children.
Yeah.
So
maybe
that.
They just... I love kids and I'm not a man and I am terrible at sports, so I'm not really seeing... I mean, I would throw someone in the trokey if I had one, but
it does sound fun.
It does sound fun.
Maybe they just thought they wanted like roles they would like to see you play.
Yeah,
let's
maybe.
Go with that.
Maybe they went with your with the strength that you
look. If we're gonna let's say that's what it is, because that's the only way that it's palatable.
Sorry, I just processed that you're both wearing animal print today.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
hello.
And Julie, KB and I are both Liz, wearing denim jackets.
So you,
I
you
did
didn't
get
the memo. Get
the memo.
Yeah, I didn't.
Sorry, Miranda.
You got glasses memo.
Gosh.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are going to take a very quick break and then we're going to move on and learn all there is to learn about ordinary days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Liz,
okay.
Ordinary days. You have 2 minutes to tell us the plot.
Okay.
Are you ready? I'm not.
Oh, God. Oh
I'll
God.
Count it
oh
in
God.
My head.
Oh, God.
Just
God.
The plot.
Oh God.
Yep.
Just the plot.
Right.
Starting. Starting from.
Whenever Miranda gets the timer up.
I've got it.
She's ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so Ordinary Days is about four characters, Claire, Jason, Warren and Deb, exploring how they connect in New York City. They're two separate stories and they intersect at the end, and it's all about how small things can make a really big change in other people's lives at the end.
That's,
oh,
that was very
well
fastest
done.
Ever.
How much? How
I think
much
we can go into a little
left?
More detail there, Liz.
Look, I was
just
rushing.
Back it up, yeah.
Okay,
that's
so
the overview. We'll call that the overview.
Yeah. So look, it's basically it's about four people making connections in New York City. There's Jason and Claire, and Jason's moving in with Claire, but Claire's a little bit standoffish and kind of like, oh, this is making me uncomfortable, and he doesn't really understand it because he's just like head over heels in love with her. And then there's Deb, who's very mean and snippy, and she loses all her thesis and is found by a guy called Warren, who is a bit of a nerd, and he basically is desperate for a friend, and she couldn't want a friend any less, and they bond somehow, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a really hard thing to describe. I've tried to describe and sell this show to people a number of times, and because it's just four people having interactions that mean something, it's really hard to kind of, it's not got a huge
it's
gimmick
kind of
itself.
Like a day in the life musical kind of deal.
Yeah.
Does it happen over one day?
No, it's over a series of days because it takes time for them to meet up. And at the end, it's only at the end that the two storylines converge.
Okay, so they're all four do intersect at some point.
Yes. So there's lots of little near misses where they're both like, where
far.
They're all like at the Met or they're all somewhere else. And then it's at the end, there's a big crescendo where Deb and Warren decide to do something that changes Claire and Jason's life, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So did you see this musical somewhere initially? Like how were you introduced to it?
The original production in the basement of the Roundhouse Theatre in the Black Box with the original cast. We were sitting on plastic chairs. They didn't even have chairs
best kind,
in there yet.
Apparently.
And then afterwards, because I'm such a nerd fangirl, Adam Guan was there. He's the composer. And I talked to him and we're Facebook friends now.
Yeah.
I tried to bring the musical to Australia at one point and we had chats, but it didn't work out.
Oh, so this is back in 2008,
yeah, in New York City. It's an off-Broadway original cast. So
Finborough.
So, yeah, it was...
fun to say.
Finborough.
It was, yeah, Hunter Foster, Lisa Breskia.
Oh, that black... okay.
Kate Weatherhead and Jared Gertner.
So we're two productions in by then.
Yeah, so they did one in, they did a tryout in the West End, and then the first, like, proper, after it had been workshop performance, was the one in New York.
Now I need you to tell me that you also have Hunter Foster on Facebook, because that would be
I
cool.
don't, but I have his autograph.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you that one. So then what was it, like, about the story that grabbed you? Because putting it all on the table, I watched a version of it yesterday.
Yeah, no.
It was... in the not good
realm. This day, I've been looking for a version that makes me feel the same way that I felt when I saw the show, and I've not found one. It was the fact that it's just a piano. There's no big orchestration. It's just had a guy. It had Adam Guan sitting there playing fucking piano. And it was such an intimate, small theatre. So there were scenes where, like, you're sitting near the aisle and Hunter Foster just walks past you and you're just like, I could touch you if I wanted to. But yeah, it was one of those things where my ex at the time was like, we have to go see this because Hunter Foster's in it. And I was like, ugh, it looks like shit. I really don't want to, like, ugh. And it ended up being my favourite show that I saw over there. And I think it was just because the performances were really good and just, I can't explain this, and I've never been able to explain this properly, but it was just how beautiful human connection can be even if you're not looking for it.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a cry.
Aww.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a cry
every single time I heard the soundtrack for about a year after that.
I too had a bit of a cry for different reasons.
Yeah.
Make it stop. But to be fair, I think I saw a college version.
Yes.
Which was like... very clearly slapped together. Well, and I don't think they had the life experience to tell those stories.
The good thing about this show is that the album is almost the entire show. There's virtually no spoken bits between it. So if you just listen to the cast album and close your eyes, you'll get the whole show.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. Well, being sung through, yes.
Yeah.
Do we have any fun facts with KB today?
We do. Oh, it's actually the very first musical ever that was in the Roundabout Theatre. So you saw the very first musical ever in that theatre.
Yeah. The plastic chairs would say so. Yes, for sure.
Oh, poor thing. But Guan's favourite memory of writing parts of the show was when he wrote the lyrics to Beautiful, because he was in the middle of a board meeting where he was meant to be taking minutes and instead came out with no notes from the meeting but the lyrics to Beautiful, the final number of the show.
Whatever works for you. Works
I think it's great. And he said, like, it's kind of what the show is kind of about, where you're doing all of these things that maybe are taking you away from the thing that you want to do, but you always kind of come back to that create, like, you're navigating career and creativity and relationships. And he wrote a song for the show while he was in the board meeting.
I mean, I do my best work when I'm procrastinating something else. So I feel that.
And there's also a song about 9/11 in the show. So it's called I'll Be Here.
Yes.
And he often gets asked why. Because it is a very, like, particularly at that time in 2008, it was very, heavy kind of subject
and
still.
It comes out of nowhere. Yeah. So that's, like, the second that you realise was when I started crying. It was like, oh, God, nope, too much. Yeah.
And he keeps asking why. And he's like, well, 9/11 just became part of, I guess, like, the tapestry or the fabric of New York City. So for me, writing a contemporary musical with a contemporary sound and a contemporary story, it just made sense. You can't set something in New York without, like, at that time, alluding or bombarding the audience with that part of the narrative, which I found really interesting. I don't think it does bombard.
No, it really does just feel like that's just, like you're saying, it's part of the story of those characters. And that is actually probably, I would say, the best written song in the show and probably the most performed outside the show. Yeah. A lot of people don't know what it comes from.
No, Audra McDonald put it on her album at one point. It's like she's done a cover of it as well and everyone's like, what's that from?
Yeah.
It's from this show.
It's from this show.
I feel like if I was Adam Guang, I'd be pretty happy about that.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Like, keep doing that and then some more. Thank you.
It does tell it's talking more about the aftermath of that moment for Claire
and what it meant
and it
for
does
Claire
come right at the end of the show. Yeah. So it's not that there's this thing that's not scattered throughout the whole show and then we find out, oh, it's a 9/11 thing. It really is just a ordinary part of her backstory. And
and a part of, I think he was like, it's part of, I was here. I had just graduated uni when it happened. I was in the city. It's part of my story. It's part of so many other people's stories who live in New York. How can you tell a story of people who have lived in New York and not include that?
It affected people's
lives.
Because
it affects people's lives.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Deep thoughts
for ordinary days.
The other song that you do hear outside the show is Don't Want to Be Here, which I've heard in auditions a few times. Mm. This one is very early, the other female character, Deb. And I don't know if it's just because I am a woman, but by the way, I am. I'm a female woman person. I connect so much more easily with the female songs in this than with the male songs, which I find strange from a male writer.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, I can't obviously say I'm not male either. Thanks, Trunchbull. but, yeah, like I did connect very well with the female songs and even with the start of the rooftop duet when Deb and Warren are singing. Like, I don't quite get his perspective, but her perspective just, like, hits me in the guts. But, yeah, it's he's a very sensitive man, is Adam, from his other musicals that he's done.
What else?
Yes. Oh, well, what would they be?
So he just did one that I just saw in New York called Scotland, PA, and it sounds really cheesy, but it's based on a movie from the 70s that is Macbeth set in a fast food restaurant.
Yeah,
I'm mad about it.
Very funny.
It does sound fun.
Very, very funny. Like, yeah, the witches are all like fucked up hippies and, you know, it's just, it was hilarious and I loved it and it makes me sad that COVID happened because I heard that they were going to do cast albums and then COVID happened and no one has any money to do anything anymore.
Oh, hopefully there's a time when it's all over.
But yeah, Ordinary Days has been done so many, like there's what, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like a lot of times because it's so easy to do, I think, because it's just a piano and four people and a set that you just can pretty much make out of roster blocks. Like it's not difficult.
Which would be why I saw a college production.
Because it's easy.
But also not many people got into that show. No. Yeah. It's not a really good way to use your class.
Like, well, it's only 80 minutes and four people. So I don't really get, like, unless they were doing like a showcase and this was one group's showcase, I don't really see how that can be a whole college production.
Maybe. I did happen to find a review. A bad review.
Bad reviews with Julie.
This week's that flashy. Was special. I liked it. It was, let's call it dissonant.
Yeah. Well, it's bad reviews, so it has to sound like bad reviews.
I hope no one thinks we're doing our best.
Please, guys, this is a public service announcement. This is not our best.
Just why? This is from a website called BroadwayBaby.com. Spew at the name of this website. I might write a review about the name of this website. But anyway, BroadwayBaby.com by Millie Bayswater, written on the 24th of August, 2016. She gave it a whopping 2 stars.
I thought it was going to be a
out
1 star.
Out of 5 or 10?
I mean, let's just say 5. It doesn't actually tell you out of how many. Maybe it was out of 2. But I doubt it. Is my point. So a quote that just kind of jumps out at you within this is, overall the vocals are decent but unmemorable.
Oh. Imagine reading. No, don't read that. Don't ever read that.
From the University of Southampton Gawne Rogue Theatre Company, bring Adam Gawne's 2008 musical Ordinary Days to the Fringe. This is not production. Okay, that...
Lost all credibility.
I tried to be a journalist. I need to check that this is not me. This is not production. It's not me, guys.
No.
This is not production that comes screaming out of the gate, but grows on you as the cast warm into the show. As a cast member, that is not something I ever once said about me.
Look, the second that they make a big error like that, I just disregard everything that they say. I'm like, well, clearly their opinion's shit because they can't speak.
I mean, we don't know. We don't know her background.
Look,
this might be her doing her best.
Let me give it.
Just give it to me. But yes, she goes on to say, the acting is again a mixed bag.
Oh, there's only 4 people. How mixed bag can you get?
Maybe one half decent.
Everyone's like, it's about me.
This piece seems a little under-directed and a little over-rehearsed. The movement is often
an interesting combination.
It is an interesting combination. It's often static and contrived and exaggerates the song cycle nature of the musical more than it needs to. But yes, it's just a little taste of what Millie Bayswater had to say.
That just sounds like poor direction.
I think there's a little nugget of dare I say truth in Millie's assessment.
The word contrived
of the show. No. But obviously Millie doesn't appreciate that about theatre. So perhaps this was quite a... It's not a song and dance musical. No. There's no sequence or tap dancing here. It's not a Miranda show. It would be best performed in a very naturalistic style.
Yeah. Yes.
It wouldn't feel like there were soaring vocal moments unless you were actually listening. Like, it's a lyric-based show more than a melodic show. It's all very speaky.
Millie definitely does have something to say about the choreography, and it is...
Why is there choreography?
Scathing. Rader Maker is the only one who performs any kind of choreography. Although to call it this is probably an overstatement. He moves woodenly and it feels awkward to watch. His performance comes across as often self-indulgent, and it is hard to believe in his feelings for Claire while he constantly navel gazes.
Oh, wow. That is awful.
So she did want choreography, but she didn't get that choreography. She didn't want what she got on stage.
This show does not need choreography.
No, and if it does, it would make me uncomfortable. I tend to do more plays than I do musicals, and this seemed like a very playish musical to me, even though there's no words spoken.
It's a sung play as opposed to 42nd Street, which is
not
abuse. This is what I'm saying. You know, it's if you go in there expecting it to be Spamalot, it's not.
No, and you'll be sorely disappointed.
Which Millie was.
Yes. Poor lad. I just feel awful for that actor. That's like, that's going hard at one person. And
I do believe she goes hard at many other people. Oh,
there's only four people.
Well, on the other hand, Josh Vastra, while not being the most standout singer or actor, has a presence to him that makes him deeply watchable.
Deeply.
So he's good looking. That's what she said in her review.
Well, I think that's important.
This review is actually just a blast to read. I wouldn't take it.
This is legendary. This person is cranky. What else?
A redeeming factor in the production is that a redeeming factor in a production that is mostly little better than average, Josh brings real heart to every scene he is in. You can't help but root for this guy.
I think she might.
I think she wants to root on him.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we move on to the lessons we've learnt from Ordinary Days?
Yes.
Why not? I don't think Liz Pest has ever seen us dance to the interstitial music.
It was beautiful, and I had to turn away because too much mirth was being had.
It is something that happens on the regular. But what lessons have we learned from Ordinary Days?
As someone who is constantly being career, creativity, relationships, and that juggling game, I really enjoy this musical. So thanks for bringing it to us, Liz. Because I was just that's right. Life can really suck sometimes.
It called me out. I was this musical is calling me out. I don't like it, but I love it.
It's the same kind of deal as everyone who was La La Land sucks. I was yeah, but it spoke to me.
Me too.
where we go. And Ordinary Days had I had the same reaction. Because I'm, again, going through that thing of do I want to be a teacher? Do I want to be doing something else? Or is it time to just accept the fate that I've chosen for myself? So that was the lesson I relearned listening to Ordinary Days, is that I guess I'm never going to really, give up the juggling.
Ow. You've hurt me.
Sorry.
What have I learned from Ordinary Days? I learned that children should never play late 20s to 30s because it's offensive and I hate it. Don't you tell me about your struggles. You don't know struggles yet.
Struggles.
You know nothing of struggles. You've probably had more issues than me in your lifetime, but you know nothing.
That's brilliant.
This particular struggle.
I don't understand how kids can play any of these roles.
They would have had to be. Actually, I did find a review about it. I will send it to you later.
Oh, please do.
You can look at their youthful face and be as enraged as I was.
Oh, God.
Any lessons?
It was a learning experience for them. I think that the show talks a lot about the power of connection and a little bit about letting the world happen around you and to you, and that you no man is an island, that kind of thing. That your connection with other people is what gives the Ordinary Days meaning.
She did it, guys. She put it in there.
I did. I did. It's interesting that there's no song called the finale isn't the four of them singing Ordinary Days.
I'm not mad about that.
Well, that would have required choreography, you see.
That's right. The show does just sort of peter out in a very strange sort of way.
Yeah. In a very ordinary way.
Yeah, and I think part of what they're saying. It feels
it's
a little...
slice of life, so you're not going to have any massive... Well, there is a resolution for all of the characters, but then they continue on for one little song after the resolution. But it's the very non-final. This isn't their one goal.
It feels a bit like the last 5 years in that structure, in that the biggest song that they all sing together is in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's sort of...
It kind of goes, it's like the 80-minute musical, and the rooftop duet Falling is probably the biggest group number, and then there's I'll Be Here and then the finale song. So it's just towards the end and it gets really big. But when I saw it, when in I'll Be Here, when Lisa's yes, Jason, I will marry you, he's appeared in the aisle and he's just standing there in light, and I'm sitting there going, this is so cheesy and I love it. He's right there. I loved it. I'm sorry. You I like, was obsessed.
That was one of the other reviews started with. If you can look past the cheese.
Nah.
It does. I love cheese.
Yeah. And look, I think it all has to rest on the performances. I think if you don't play it in a genuine, real way, it's not going to land at all.
Mm.
But yeah, my lessons were all about connection and also about being open to the fact that, you know, you might think your life is going to go a certain way and it's totally okay that it doesn't, she says, rocking back and forth. I'm fine. I'm not depressed.
Tear. Tear.
I've totally figured out what I'm supposed to be doing with my life at 35. It's fine.
Maybe. Don't figure it out. Just let the good times roll.
And look, in pandemic times, connection is important.
Oh, yes. But also, having zero pressure to do anything is amazing.
Oh, you are so lucky. My work has gotten 3 times as busy and it makes me want to cry.
True. Oh. Any other lessons, ladies?
No.
Just like be nice to other people because small things that you do can have a massive impact on somebody else's life.
Butterfly effect.
Really? Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Well, let's dreamcast this. So where are we putting Zach?
Zach was a tough one this week, guys.
Zach was a tough one this week.
I was like, obviously Jason straight away, but then I was like, do I want to see him play Warren and see what happens?
What
and then
we...
I thought, no, Jason.
He kind of has already played Warren in that almost in that New Year's Eve movie.
Yes. Oh, right.
That's actually a very similar sort of character track.
Still haven't watched that one.
He's so beefy now that he couldn't possibly pay Warren as his beefy
that's
self.
Like,
he's
like,
I will take him beefy.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, I wouldn't say no to that.
He's a Jason. Who says Warren doesn't work out? I mean...
There is no way that Warren would be a man island in want of friends if he looked like Zac Efron.
But also I thought about Jack McBrayer playing Warren and I didn't want anybody else. So...
Could you stop?
I love
that
it.
That is amazing. Kind
I love
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
That is delightful.
And I'd also, even though I would have Zach in, maybe he can do like a one night only kind of deal and reunite Lindsay Mendez and Derek Klenner as Jason and Claire.
Adorable.
Yeah.
Adorable. Cute. Yeah. I would swap a Hunter for a Hunter.
Oh, yeah?
And I would swap out Hunter Foster as Jason for Hunter Parrish as Jason.
Oh, yeah, nice. You would, yeah, cute. Okay. Nice.
Mm. Can we do that for everyone?
Yeah. Who do you want to swap for a swap? Do you want Lisa McCune in it, do you
love? I'd swap Kate Weatherhead out for Kate Rockwell.
I don't know. I just say things.
Oh, well, don't. It's only a podcast.
Incidentally, Rachel Becker, Michael Falzone in the Australian
Scrobologic
cast.
One, yeah.
With Erica Lovell and J. James Moody. There you go. In 2012. Just putting that out there.
But who else do you want to see in it, Miranda? Do you want to see the original cast? Are you going to go for that?
No, she's not allowed.
No.
She pays me out for
I'm
it all
allowed.
The time.
I'm not allowed. Well, I'm having a mind blank. What's her face?
Yes.
From
what is
the last
one?
5 years and the stupid singing movies.
I'm sorry. What?
Okay. Anna Kendrick?
Yes. Anna Kendrick in the role of annoying what's
Deb.
Her face? Deb.
Yeah.
Because
I could buy that.
It will give me finally that opportunity to truly just dislike it. I just feel like Deb is the character she's been waiting to play.
I think there is something lovable about Deb.
There's something lovable about Deb.
Warren cracks her.
Horrible.
Warren cracks her.
I think if you had like an Annalie Ashford or something to give you like an endearing, and like Kate Weatherhead is also very endearing, I would assume, because she plays very endearing characters outside of this show. That you need someone that you do want to succeed in the end. Otherwise,
she's like
she's just the villain.
She played like a was like a pineapple. She's all prickly on the outside, but like actually
she's
quite nice and sweet
strung.
On the inside.
Oh my god! If they were all fruit,
which fruit would
Warren
they be?
Warren would be a peach.
Peach.
Okay.
I think he'd be a peach.
Okay. And Jason would be
Jason.
A
banana
would be a banana.
And Claire would
and
be.
Claire
a...
would probably be like a lime.
Yeah.
Why a lime?
Because you're like
she's a a bit tart, but not in the tart way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know, she's got a bit of a sting to her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can use it to sweeten up something else.
You can use it as a sweet or a sour alone.
Well, okay, you've done it.
We've got it. Some fruit salad.
Wait for it. Ordinary Days performed by fruit is coming to a town near you.
Can I just throw in a personal that, what you know, shout out to my friends, but Rhiannon Mauchel, who I've worked with and is now in the UK doing actory things.
Yeah.
The whole time I was listening to the soundtrack, I was hearing her play Deb.
Yeah.
Which now I feel bad about, having said that I'd like to hate Anna Kendrick in that role. I actually think that Rhiannon would give it that gravitas.
Yeah.
And a lovable nature.
What I was thinking during that casting, which is really more just ways to annoy our producer Zane 101, was putting, oh, he's looking at me and he's
Rebel
mad
Wilson
already.
As Deb.
Rebel Wilson as Deb and James Corden.
I can't watch Warren. Rebel Wilson in anything. I'm sorry. She ruins so everything fun. She's in for me.
It's so fun. Sorry, I just purely did that for that face. That's
I think
all I
the
did.
Fruit was better.
She just falls over. She just falls over. That's all she does. She just falls over and expects people to laugh.
Does she?
Yeah. She falls over in almost everything.
She didn't fall over in Pooch Perfect.
Well, that was a reality show, so that's very different.
Anyway, let's move on to our top five. Top five lists. What have we got?
Top five four-hander musicals.
Yeah,
you've got a lot on there.
Yeah, there is a lot on there.
There are a lot, and...
is it top five?
It might be scraping into five for me. My personal top five just didn't quite make it shows.
Like,
one of those shows that I listen to and I think there's something there and it's so close, but it just doesn't hit the mark for me.
I would agree with that list because I want it to be, I want it to be a show that I want to do, but I don't.
You might have to see it. It might be one of those.
I think
shows.
I have to see it with adults playing adults.
Yeah, like adults who can act, not just who are singers.
Twould be nice.
Yes.
Twould be
actors
nice.
If someone's
who
willing
sing.
Enough to cast it that way.
Yes, if there's a director who would cast it that way.
It reminds me a lot of I Love You Because. It's a very similar show.
Right.
In it's a six-hander, but it's four main characters. It's set in New York and it's meant to be this little ode to New York life kind of thing. And it has that same, a very similar sort of style of writing in it, and it's just so close. It just isn't quite. And it's like, yeah, come on, you could do it. That's how I feel about
I feel
that
like
show.
If there were a couple people, maybe just sprinkle a little bit of their magic on this show, we might have a real winner. One of them would be Jason Robert Brown. Just like have a little sprinkle in just there, like, see what happens.
Just like there we go.
This show,
I feel like there is a sprinkle
JRB.
Of Jason Robert Brown in there already.
But it wasn't him.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what we need to do. Just a little sprinkle. Oh, pop on the top. We good. Sondheim does need to touch it. We good.
It does sound like there are moments in it where you go, oh, that's a very, like...
reminiscent.
Very Sondheim-esque moment.
There's some patteriness to the songs, definitely.
Producer Zane would like to say top five songs about 9/11 or 9/11 songs.
Sure.
Yep. That and
have
I guess
heard
all
any
of
other
Come
other
From Away.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen or heard Come From Away. I missed it last time I was in New York because it was too expensive. I picked Moulin Rouge.
Oh, you made a bad choice there.
I feel like I made an excellent choice. That show rocked.
I don't know. I don't know.
That show broke my heart and slapped me in the face. It was great.
Were you on that episode?
Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a bad time. Anyway, top five.
Cheap Sets.
Oh, I was going to say shows to do on the cheap. That's not cool. This is
I was channeling
top five
you.
Smart budgeting shows.
Mm-hmm. Top five shows that maybe could save your theatre company COVID.
Yeah.
Well, good social distancing because people don't really touch each other and they sing alone.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Okay, all right.
Any more
and
top
it
five?
Only requires one piano, so you don't need a whole bunch of people blowing their COVID-y air into instruments.
Handy.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're just
hadn't
giving you about
all
that until
the
just
ideas.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Top five COVID shows. Great. It's a new list.
I mean, we may as well start it. Anything else?
Not for me.
I'm good.
No, I'm good. I just like listening to your lists.
All right. Well, that might be it then. Thanks so much for coming on, Liz.
Thank you for having me.
So, like, if the listeners are just like, oh, that voice, that voice, where can I find that voice?
I do two podcasts on this network. Whoop, whoop. So I've got Castology, which is a podcast reviews and recommendations podcast. So if you're ever, like, stuck going, what should I listen to now? Listen to Castology, and then you'll have three different podcasts per week and then three reviews per week. Or if you've got a shitty love life, Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, which is where we get guests to come on and talk about their stories of love gone wrong. Sometimes it's love gone right when my co-host Tom gets his way, but that's rare because I like the terrible disaster stories better. But yeah, so we do little Ask Liz and Tom episodes where we do agony aunt uncle stuff, but we also do have guests tell their sometimes really funny, sometimes really sad stories of shit relationships.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love lost.
Yeah.
Delightful. Fun times all round.
So much.
I actually really enjoy both podcasts.
Oh, so wonderful.
Highly recommend.
When are you going to come on my podcast?
Oh, mate, when you can learn how to disguise my voice.
You can write in. We have anonymous episodes where we get people writing in their stories and I change enough details so that no one will know, but no I still one get
can,
the story.
No one can retell this story.
I'd like to give
it's
it a
my
shot.
Story.
And if you would like to find out what the story is, you could email us and you Julie could. Might email it to
yes.
you.
So you found us on your podcasting device. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Good job. If you would like to, you can leave us a little rate review, maybe a cheeky subscribe. You can also find us at many places on the web. We're on the Book of Face. I have no idea what the handle is because
Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know on Facebook and Musicals Teach Me on Instagram and
Twitter. Perfect. That works for me. Does that work for you?
I think so.
And if you are so keen to see Zane do the Necronomicon.
I know, we haven't mentioned it in a while.
Oh, at least since the last episode. Pop on over to our Patreon. Give us as little as like $1 a month. And we could potentially be seeing Zane do the Necronomicon, which I Googled the other day to discover what it really is. Did we agree on the morph suit? I think we did.
Yes, we did.
I think we did.
We agreed Zane did not, but we agreed as a collective group. Yep.
Yes. As a collective, that was a thing. Yeah. So, you know.
Majority rules on that one.
It could be happening very shortly. I feel it. I feel it coming. Guys, we're almost there. Okay. We can do this. Anyway, thank you for another episode, KB.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Miranda.
Thanks.
Oh, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Thanks, Liz.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.